And great to be with you today on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are with us, whether your kids are still kids or whether they're full-grown adults and they're not with us today. Thank you that you're here. And we want to honor you. We want to thank you for all that you do as a mom and all that you have done. And want to especially say Happy Mother's Day to you. Well, when you think back, if you grew up with a mother and you were raised and had a mom with you, what are some of the most significant things that your mother taught you? What would you say are some of the most significant things that your mother taught you? Think about that for a moment, and probably a number of things come to mind. Some would say that question is enough. That how do you pick just a few things? You know, some of you had that experience. Some of you maybe struggled to answer that question because maybe the situation wasn't so best and wasn't so great in the home, depending on your situation. But if there were some significant things that your mother taught you, what were they? I was considering this question some this week, in part because I was preparing for this message, and it prompted me to think ahead about Mother's Day rather than, oh, last night, gee, it's Mother's Day. Gotta get something for my wife and for my mom. And that's how it sometimes rolls with me. But I was thinking about it this week, and so many things came to my mind, and I thought of the practical things that my mother taught me. You know, she taught me how to do so many things. Who taught you how to tie your shoes? You know, for me, I'm pretty sure it was my mom. my dad taught me how to do the tie. I do remember that. My dad taught me how to shave. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. I think that it was my mom who taught me so many of the practical things, little things that we take for granted that we do. I thought of ways that my mother educated me. And I was raised just in regular, like, public school system, and then I did go to private school in high school and then on to college. But throughout, I mean, there's so many ways my mom helped to educate me. I remember all of the times as a curious child, the continual, probably at times to her, felt constant questions. Just out of curiosity. Hey, mom, what's this? Hey, what's that? Hey, mom, what? You know, of course, moms, you know, when you're a child, you think your mom knows everything. And sometimes it seems like she does. I thought of the correction she gave me, which sometimes was very necessary. The manner she taught me. I thought of the constant encouragement. My mom was, it seemed like to me, my biggest fan. And there's so many practical things that come to mind. But perhaps most importantly are the principles or the priorities that sometimes we glean from our moms. And I can think of many principles and priorities that my mom taught me. I wonder if you can. And these things have helped me and helped shape me to be who I am today. And what for you are some of the most significant things that your mom taught you? Well, this morning, as we honor moms this Mother's Day, I would like us to consider what God's Word actually tells us about the significant role of a mother, particularly related to a mother's instruction. I've titled our message this morning, A Mother's Instruction. And we're going to see in God's Word what He says, what He conveys to us are some, if not, well, not just some, but the most significant thing. And there are several things that mothers can teach. What are some of the most significant things that mothers can teach? This applies to you who are mothers. Presently, it applies to you who are mothers, whether your children are still in the home or whether your children are no longer in the home. This applies to those of you ladies who are single who may someday be a mom. This applies to young women now even still in school who someday may get married and be moms. It applies, hold on, men and boys, before you decide to take a nap. It applies to you too. How so? Because many of you men are married to someone who's a mother, and you actually play a crucial role in helping her to be a great mother. And some of you that are single men may be married someday to someone who will also be a mother, and learning now how you can play a role in helping in that incredible responsibility that a mother has. Is important to you. So all of this is relevant to all of us So would you please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Our message this morning is going to be from Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. Before we go to God's Word and read that, let's take a look at what, let's pray, and then let's take a look at what God says about a mother's instruction. Father, thank you that you've put principles in your Word and you've given us truths that you want to communicate and convey to us that we can apply. And I pray that this would be helpful to all of us as we read and apply this to our lives today, and especially to all of the moms here. We honor them and thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. And here's the thing too, one more thing to the men and the boys. You're a son of a mom. You have a mom that you can not only, it's not only just someone you might marry someday and help her be a mom. You yourself have a mom, and how you relate to the mom, there's some things relevant to your day too. So let's read Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. That's so good. Let's read it again. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Let's consider three questions from these two verses this morning. Again, I've titled this message, A Mother's Instruction, so I think it appropriate to first consider what kind of instruction are we talking about, consistent with what God teaches in the context of Proverbs. And if you know much about Proverbs, it's often referred to as wisdom literature. It's wisdom principles that God has given to us to help us know about living in the way of wisdom. And so we would be, it would be very appropriate for us to ask first, what makes a mother's instruction wise? Because we're not just talking about any instruction here. We're talking about wise instruction. And what is it that makes a mother's instruction wise? Well, we need to define some terms, don't we? Let's start with asking, what is wisdom? Wisdom in Proverbs is pretty much defined by implication and in some specific ways. Wisdom is clearly connected with knowledge. And it is, yes, also connected with experience. So sometimes if we think of someone wise, sometimes we do think of someone who's a little older because they have a little more experience in life. But the reality is that wisdom is not directly just and only related to age or to experience, but it can be relevant. And wisdom is not just head knowledge, if you will. It's not just information. And I think sometimes we think of it that way, that it's just someone who knows a lot of things. And wisdom is not necessarily that. But wisdom is, though it's not solely knowledge and experience, wisdom in the Bible is used, it can be used at times, yes, to refer to specific expertise in a certain area. So for example, the wise builders of the temple in the Old Testament, they were considered wise because they were very skilled at craftsmen and construction and being able to use skill that they had learned, carpentry and building, helping to build, working with stones and all kinds of things. So wisdom can apply to skill in a specific area. But central to wisdom as it's used in the Bible and in Proverbs is the reality that wisdom also has a spiritual and moral aspect to it that is tied to God Himself. In other words, you could have excellent skill in a certain area. You could have tons of information and tons of experience. But if that wisdom is not related to the moral and spiritual aspects of the wisdom that God gives, it's not biblical wisdom. It's not what we would call godly wisdom. It's what we would call worldly wisdom. And worldly wisdom is very different from godly wisdom. And what Proverbs is talking about, what we're going to be talking about this morning when we talk about a mom's wise instruction, is we're communicating what God says about it, and that is godly wisdom. So this means that wisdom relates to who God is. It relates to His character, such as His justice, His goodness, His righteousness. And it has this sense of understanding that ultimate godly wisdom comes from and finds its source in God Himself. Someone who acquires wisdom, godly wisdom, will have character and conduct that comes from and is consistent with God's character and conduct. Look with me at Proverbs 1:7, which, by the way, is the verse right before our passage this morning. Helpful to look at context, right? Look at verse 7, the verse right before verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1. It says this, here's on the screen as well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And this verse uses the terms knowledge, wisdom, and instruction, and it uses those terms fairly interchangeably or fairly synonymously. It connects all of these things with the fear of the Lord. So we've defined wisdom, now we need to find something else. What then is the fear of the Lord? Does this mean that we are afraid of God? We're afraid of the Lord? We should stay away from Him? That we should watch out for Him? Scholar Bruce Waltke, in his excellent commentary on Proverbs, states that connected to the fear of the Lord are the instruction, commands, teaching, standards, will, and ways of God Himself. Waltke also states that the fear of the Lord is related to a real emotional response of love and trust. The fear of the Lord can be described as a genuine awe and reverence for God that responds to who He truly is and what He does. And I've always loved to define the fear of the Lord that way. It's a reverence and awe of God that results in a real response in me of faithfulness and obedience. Reverence and awe. You know, that it leads to a real response in me that would lead to a character and conduct lining up with the character and conduct and will ways of God. So a mother's instruction, in order to be wise instruction, is to be related to having this fear of the Lord. It's this wisdom that comes from the Lord and from the fear of the Lord. A mother's wise instruction then necessitates that she be rightly related to God, which is a gift through God, through Jesus, gift of God through Jesus Christ. For her to have wise instruction, she needs to first and foremost have a relationship with God and be a recipient of that wise instruction herself from God. But then in that, she is passing that on to those she instructs, her children or other children or other people. So first, what makes a mother's instruction wise is that the wisdom comes from God, from the fear of the Lord. What you also notice in our passage this morning in Proverbs 1, 8, and 9, and we don't want to brush right over this, but you'll notice the father's instructions mentioned too. In fact, it's mentioned first. I know we're honoring mothers today, but we need to comment here that this goes hand in hand. It's clearly connected with a mother's wise instruction. The mother's wise instruction, it's fair to say, is complementary to, consistent with the father's wise instruction. There's a few implications from this. Let's talk about what this means then, what this implies. It implies that both parents, their instruction to their children is to be rooted in the fear of the Lord and wisdom. It implies that both parents are to be on the same page, if you will, with this principled instruction that is rooted and connected to the fear of the Lord. It implies by implication that they are a team together. And as Genesis 2 says, the two become one flesh. If they significantly differ, and this happens a lot in families, if they come into conflict, and we're not talking about just times when a couple disagrees. You know, that sometimes one parent wants to be a little stronger in the discipline, the other parent wants to be a little more laid back with the discipline, or be a little more laissez-faire, if you will, hands-off. Other parents, sometimes one parent wants to be a little more hands-on involved. I'm not talking about those kind of slight differences in just specific situations. I'm talking here that if they significantly differ in terms of their entire value system, right? And that leads to, it's going to lead to all kinds of potential conflict and other problems. And so in that situation, that couple needs to get on the same page with the same values and principles. Now, some of the applications of those can sometimes be worked out, and I think that's where couples kind of balance each other. And if they're not on the same page with the principles, let me make a few suggestions. I think number one is it may be necessary to actually go to a biblical or a Christian counselor or to a pastor and someone that is, you know, able to help teach and help you kind of get on the same page with the principles and values if a married couple is not. It also could apply reading books on marriage and parenting, particularly from a Christian basis, that can help you talk and discuss this and try to get on the same page. In fact, that might be the first step before going to counseling, is there's so many resources out there. You can buy great books, work through it, talk through it together, interact with other couples about it, or with a small group, or with pastor, or that sort of thing. But if there's significant conflict, then it should be something that a person should go, a couple together should go to a counselor and work out. With that said, though, something else that's very important here is so we're talking about the father's instruction, and it begs the question then, well, what if the father's not present? Right? What if the father's either no longer alive, or there's been a divorce, and the mother is a single mother? Let me speak to all of them for a moment. What if you're a single mom? Is this saying, okay, I don't have a father's instruction that my mother's instruction can complement here in Proverbs 1, 8, 9. So is this not applicable to me? No, absolutely it is. It still is in the following ways. If the father is not present or not imparting the wise instruction, because let's say the father is present, but he doesn't hold to the fear of the Lord, that the father is an unbeliever and the mother is a believer. The mother holds to the fear of the Lord, the father doesn't. Well, what's a mother to do? Or what if the mother's a single mom? What if there's a divorce? What if there's a death? If she's a widow? Well, the mother still can. Mother, you can still do the wise instruction. Your teaching can still be rooted in the knowledge and wisdom of the fear of the Lord, and that can make an incredible impact. And God's grace can be sufficient even if the husband or the father is not present or communicating or conveying the fear of the Lord wisdom. Now, it gets difficult in situations, custody issues, right, when one mom's trying to really raise a child in the fear of the Lord and in the wisdom, the mother's instruction we're talking about here, and then the father is not. He's doing the complete opposite or conflicting with that. That does make it more challenging, yes. But you can still do your part within means of what's your control when you have your children. You can do your best to try to appeal and relate to that former or ex-husband or the husband who's not doing the wise instruction. You can do your best to try to appeal and request that, but it's very difficult for that person to do that, obviously, if they're not related to God through Christ. But what you need to do, mothers, if you're alone in this, is to focus on your part, what you can do, rather than on what you feel like your children lack from not having a father who's giving the wise instruction. Know that God's grace will be sufficient to help you, and know that God's grace will be sufficient to minister and help your children. Yes, it can be beneficial for your children to gain some additional instruction from others, even particularly men. So maybe teachers, coaches, Sunday school leaders at church, Kids Creek leaders, Flow leaders, small group leaders, youth leaders. You know, there's different ways in other environments, right? You know, I've known single moms that have involved their kids in Boy Scouts so they could have mentors, for example, or involved them in sports and athletics where the coach was really looked to in some ways. And not that that can ever replace a father, but they can be someone that the child looks up to and respects. With that said, I think that Christian parents, this is something that we should keep our eye out for prayerfully and kind of have on our radar. Is Christian parents, do you want a great ministry opportunity? It's to look out for those in our midst that you know, or those, whether in our midst in the church or outside the church, that you know that you might be able to be a support in some way. If you know some single moms, how can you love on them? How can you take the kids and give that single mom a break? Or what if when you're going to do something with your kids, even if it's a movie, you invite the single mom's kids to come along too, or the single mom too even, right? You know, what if, you know, you're going to the baseball game and you invite the single mom's son to go too? You know, it's the little things, right? But it can be big things. It can be huge. And you know, I don't think we want to enter into these things lightly and do it once and then never involved in their life again. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that every Christian parent or every Christian family is going to be able to do that and kind of step into a father role. But there may be some things in an ongoing way that could be a great ministry opportunity that you could support or reach out to single moms and people in your neighborhood that don't know Christ, and you as a couple could do some things with that family, and in some ways your children can be friends with theirs and that sort of thing. Consider that. Make yourself available to support and encourage in any way that you can. Christian men, maybe there's a way you can do fatherly things, whether it be a child or a teen, without an earthly father or an earthly father not involved. I think, you know, one of the things that I've told some people before, especially if they've asked me, is that at the very least, if something comes up, your child can give me a call. And, you know, they want to sit down over a cup of coffee, and not kids won't get coffee, but they go to Dairy Queen, you know, sit over ice cream, and, you know, you've got an issue, you know, or you just come over and sit down and talk sometime. I like to do something like, you know, be available to do something like that. That doesn't mean that, you know, you're doing this every week or every month per se, but you're available if needed and if called upon. And obviously, there has to be a relationship there and trust there, of course, but these can be ministry opportunities. So when I see in our verse the father's instruction with the mother's instruction, I'm trying to allow for, there's the world we live in, there's certainly situations where it's mostly just the mother's instruction. And what I simply want to say, if you're in that situation, is God's grace can be sufficient. There can be other ways. It doesn't mean that you can't do your part and that the impact on your kids still can't be profound, even if God's ideal is for both parents to be involved. Okay? All right, number two, that's our first question. Let's consider a second question from our passage this morning. What are you to do with a mother's wise instruction? What are you to do with mother's wise instruction? This is obviously starting to get at the recipients of the mother's instruction, isn't it? First question sort of relates to the mother and her extending the wise instruction. This question relates a little more to the recipients of that instruction. What are you to do with it? There's two commands in our passage this morning that tell you as a recipient what to do with a mother's wise instruction. The first one is to hear it. Hear, first word. Hear. And by the way, that word in the Hebrew brings out not just kind of listen as an information. The word hear, as that Hebrew word is used, has connotations of obedience connected with it. Hear in such a way that it's applied. It's obeyed. It's followed. Now, to hear it, first of all, we need to receive it, right? And certainly, we're going to receive a mother's wise instruction by considering it with this, right? We want to also be hearing God's word and seeing where the mother's instruction lines up with that. Because here's the deal. Even in a mother who is following the fear of the Lord and loves God and is seeking to communicate God's wisdom, they're also an imperfect fallen person. They, just like anyone's teaching needs to be tested with Scripture, a mother's wise instruction needs to be. And so, children, there's something to be said, particularly as you grow and mature into adulthood, is to, yes, you're honoring your father and mother by considering their teaching, but you need to first test it with Scripture. Because, look, I've had many scenarios in my years in college ministry where college students that I was mentoring or working with, male or female, that were in our ministry, were feeling called by God to go on a mission trip. But mom and dad, and sometimes it was mom, nurturing, protective mom, was really adamantly against it. And my response to these college students is, what do you feel that God wants you to do? Because first and foremost, God is the one to be followed. Particularly now, when you're a child, it's a little different. But once you're 18 plus and you're into adulthood, which is that's the situation I was dealing in, what God says trumps what mom and dad says. That is inconsistent with God's will. And I say, if that isn't. And so honoring your father and mother would be to consider what the mother says, but not necessarily if that contradicts what you feel God is leading you. You with me on that? Because same with going into full-time ministry. I have another number of people that are like, yeah, I feel like I'm going to go to seminary or be a missionary full-time, and my parents aren't down with it. Am I not honoring them? No, you are honoring them by seeking their counsel, but you have to first honor God. God goes first. And so a mother's wise instruction for the recipient needs to first and foremost be tested with this, but we should hear it. We should consider it. And with hearing a mother's instruction, yes, when it lines up with Scripture, certainly what's necessary there is a right attitude of humility. A right attitude of humility, a right attitude of teachability, an ability to look at and consider, okay, I need to learn something here. I don't have it all together. There's, and of course, as kids get to become teenagers, they can start to feel pretty independent and kind of start to feel like they know it all, and they aren't really receiving their parents' instruction with such humility. And it's actually incredibly important that you have the right attitude of humility and teachability. You may not always agree with it, but you need to honor that when you're 18 and younger, and when the mother and the father's instruction lines up with God's word. Second, related to hearing it, is a personal study and application of the Bible and its wisdom. And I've already sort of mentioned that to hear it well, to receive it well from a mother, you yourself need to be spending time in Scripture. The second command here, in addition to hear it, is forsake not. Do not forsake it. So the second thing we're not to do is to forsake it, which again relates to, it's not just information, it means that instruction is applied. And it's applied in a way that has an ongoing, continual aspect to it. In other words, you persevere in it. And just like in 1 Corinthians 15, when it talks about the gospel, and it talks about the gospel you received, and it talks about holding fast to that gospel. You know, the gospel, even we talk a lot in here, is not just, okay, you initially believe it. No, you apply it, you hold fast to it, that it has relevance to your life on a daily basis. And so in the same way it's saying here, don't forsake your mother's teaching, continually apply it. Persevere in it through difficulties. Let it function in your life. Let it be relevant to your life. Not just, okay, I heard it at dinner and then the rest of the week I ignore it and I do whatever I want. We don't do that with God. We don't do that with a mother's wise instruction either. Now, these things apply to all of us. The things that I'm saying regarding being a recipient, this applies to all of us. But I think it's fair for me to say that I want to go ahead and just make a few extra comments here to middle schoolers, elementary schoolers, high schoolers, college students, any who are in our midst, and even people all the way up into their 20s. And why am I sort of singling you out here in some comments? Well, it's simply because realize that you in particular are in some formative years. You're in some years right now that are shaping you for the person you're going to be for the rest of your life. Now, yes, people can change at any point, but a lot happens in our formative years. It's very important. It leads to our convictions and values so often for the rest of our lives. You could say that for many of you, on a regular basis, you're presented with a fork in the road. And that fork in the road is either to go the way of wisdom, which is God's way, the mother's wise instruction way, or your own way, if it contradicts with that, or the world's way, or the way that is actually a way that departs from the will of God. Now, all of us, to some degree, are presented with those forks in the road on a daily basis. But particularly in our formative years, is what I'm saying, you can start be making choices that go in the right direction or the wrong direction. So I want to speak to you for a moment. And the first thing I simply want to say is, choose the way of wisdom rather than the way of worldliness. Choose God's way, not your way. Choose your mother's wise instruction way if it's rooted in the fear of the Lord. Be a student of the wisdom of God's word. Do not forsake what you learn. Apply it to your lives and hold fast to it, even when that contradicts what your friends are doing and people around you are doing. Read John Piper's book, Don't Waste Your Life. You can get that. The ebook version is incredibly cheap. Read that book. It's part of our Watershed course. Read Don't Waste Your Life. It's very applicable. And years from now, think about these things for a moment. Those of you in this crowd I'm thinking of here, younger people. Years from now, no one will care. Especially you, by the way. What your score was on such and such video game. Years from now, no one will care, by the way, especially you, what the latest post was on Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook. Now again, neither of those things in and of themselves would be necessarily inherently wrong. Not wrong, I'm not legalistic and against someone who chooses to play a video game, but is it excessive? I'm not against somebody that wants to use social media, but is it excessive? No one is going to care years from now, especially you, what or how many movies or TV shows you have watched, and whether you've watched, you're on the fifth, sixth season of whatever Netflix thing that you keep watching. But again, in and of itself, not wrong to watch a season of something or television or movies. I watched one last night. I enjoyed it. But years from now, you're not going to really care that much about that. Nor will people. And it can become excessive. Years from now, no one will care, especially you, whether you had downloaded the latest music from your favorite bands. You're not going to like some of your bands that you're listening to now, believe me. I listened to music when I was your age. I hate it now. I'm like, I can't believe I was listening to that. It's awful. And look, I'm not saying you can't do this at all, but if you go the way of wisdom, you're going to make choices that are ultimately more beneficial to you, to others, to the kingdom of God. You'll be laying up treasures in heaven, not on earth. And again, I'm speaking to all of us here, but particularly the younger generation, right? What you're going to remember years from now, and are the folks in our room who have lived longer, if you don't believe me, go ask them after church, what will they remember years from now? And most of them are going to tell you, it's going to be the relationships. It's going to be the people. It's going to be the things that they did for the kingdom of God. It's going to be less about how much money they made or what their accomplishments were or what their time was in such and such sporting event or what their score was in the sporting event or what their team did. They'll look back on that and have joyous memories. But what they'll remember more is their relationships. I care a whole lot more when I reflect back as a high school and college swimmer and elementary school swimmer, junior high swimmer. I look back more. I remember my friends a whole lot more than I remember my times or whether I won or not. And some of those things were important to me, and I care about them, but I remember the people way more. I remember the times I had with them. You'll remember your relationships. You remember how your faith applied to your life. You'll remember the ministry and the service that you did for God, the church, for other people. You'll remember the grace God gave you to do anything good that you accomplished. And yes, you can appreciate your accomplishments, but you'll have an appreciation that it was God's grace that gave me the ability to get the grades or perform in the competition or play the music or whatever your interests and hobbies are. You'll remember and value most of all the gospel and God's love and forgiveness for you and your sins through his wonderful death and resurrection on your behalf. Do you want to be the person God wants you to be here, and do not forsake the wise instruction of a mother who fears the Lord and is seeking wholeheartedly to give you wise instruction that lines up with the word of God and the gospel? Well, we've seen two questions. Let's go to our third now. Our third question, what are the benefits of a mother's wise instruction? To talk about the benefits of a mother's wise instruction, let's look at some other passages in Proverbs in the near context and slightly broader context. First, in the passage right before verses 8 and 9, look with me at verses 2 through 5. There's several benefits here in verse 2. Well, there's several benefits in this whole passage, but look at some of them starting in verse 2. First, the benefits mentioned here in verse 2 is that the recipients of a mother's wise instruction, look what it says, they receive wisdom and instruction. And we've already defined wisdom. We've already talked about instruction as being consistent with the fear of the Lord, the wisdom and the fear of the Lord consistent together as teaching and instruction and having a spiritual and moral consistency with God and his character. A person receiving a mother's wise instruction, himself or herself will be wise. He or she will know and live, not perfectly, but consistently by God's grace, to be ever growing in Christ-like character and conduct. Verse 4 tells us another benefit of a mother's wise instruction is to give prudence to the simple. The word prudence can mean good sense. It relates a bit to what some might call common sense. But it goes further into character and conduct that is based on the righteousness, justice, and equity of God. If you feel that you are someone who could have more wisdom, more knowledge, more instruction, if you feel more inclined to being simple and not very wise, know that this instruction from God and from a mother's wise instruction can give prudence. It can give wisdom and instruction and prudence. It also says here that knowledge and discretion are benefits of a mother's wise instruction. Discretion is synonymous with prudence, and discretion refers to having good judgment. Here's what that means. You'll be able to judge right. You'll be able to make good decisions. You'll be discerning. You will make good decisions. You will have an appropriate level of carefulness and cautiousness. You won't be overly naive in a way that you're constantly fooled or doing foolish things. You will have an appropriate level of carefulness and caution. Verse 5 tells us two more benefits of a mother's wise instruction. The recipients increase in learning and they obtain guidance. They increase in learning and they obtain guidance. And that guidance helps us, again, in living life and living in God's will. Now, on to our passage this morning again. Verses 8 and 9 tell us some benefits of a mother's wise instruction. Look at what it says. It says, they will, verse 9, they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. There are great benefits to hearing and not forsaking the wise instruction that comes from a mother who fears the Lord. The godly instruction and teaching are like a graceful, an attractive garland for the head and beautiful pendants for your neck. A garland, you may know, was a twisted wreath. You know, we often see it, for example, when you see images of or depictions of the ancient Greeks and even the Romans. And sometimes when they would win a victory, like in their Olympics, right, their competitions, they would be given this garland. The winners would put this garland on their heads. It would symbolize that they were, it would signify that they are the champion, just like people that win medals or get trophies. Waltke states in his commentary on Proverbs that the garland signified, and I quote, victory and vindication over enemies. It referred to power and life, as well as to prestige and high social status. Waltke also commenting on the necklace, the pendants for your neck, described here as pendants, symbolized this, that these pendants for your neck symbolizes the guidance and protection that comes from a mother's instruction. So plenty of benefits there. So all who hear and do not forsake this wise instruction that's rooted in the fear of the Lord, they are like victors, champions, wearing a medal or receiving a trophy, clothed with guidance and protection. Another passage, Proverbs 6, 20 through 23, that relates to some benefits of a mother's instruction. First, notice how this parallels so closely our passage this morning in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1. The father's commandment is paired with the mother's instruction or teaching here. We're told to keep, which is very synonymous with hearing, and that obeying. And we're told also here not to forsake, which parallels again verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1. It parallels as well with the necklace and the garland. It says, bind them on your heart, tie them on your neck. And now look at the benefits mentioned here. Verse 22, when you walk, they will lead you. What's the benefit? Guidance. When you lie down, they will watch over you. What's the benefit? Protection. When you are awake, they will talk with you. What's the benefit? The wise instruction gives you good counsel. It gives you constant, continual counsel. Verse 23, other benefits. The commandment is a lamp. The teaching is a light. A lamp and a light helps you discern from good and evil. It helps you to see the way you're going. It exposes the darkness. It helps you know right from wrong. It guides. These are incredible benefits in this parallel passage. Now let's go on to Proverbs 22, verse 6. We see other benefits here that parallel our passage this morning. Well-known verse, famous verse, it says this, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And by he there, we mean she too. Train up a child in the way he or she should go, right? Even when he or she is old, he or she will not depart from it. Here's what it's saying. There's an incredible benefit for those children, those recipients of a mother's wise instruction. It can lead to the transformation of that child's life in an ongoing, continual way. Now, be careful here, because this is not formulaic in the sense that you as a parent, as a mother, could do a number of things correctly. Not perfectly, but very, very correctly. And you're still ultimately dependent on God's grace and help to transform your child's life. There's many parents that, do things right, and their child sometimes still chooses the way of foolishness. But there is a principle here that's relevant, and that principle is that with God's grace and His work, it tends to be a reality and truth that if you train up with the child the way he or she should go, the way that God would want, in the way of wisdom, that they tend to go that way. But you're still dependent upon God. So mothers, do you want to have wise instruction? Remember to first and foremost go to God in the gospel. Mothers, if I could speak to you for a moment, go to the wonderful reality that Christ died and rose again for you and your sins, because first and foremost, you need to have a relationship with God in Christ and know His wisdom, know the God of wisdom to convey wisdom to others. But the gospel can help you in some other ways as well. It will help you, mothers, when you're seeking to give instruction to your children or the recipients of your instruction and they fail. Because if you're applying the gospel in your wise instruction, you'll be able to handle the failures better when your children fail. When your children deviate from the way of wisdom, you will not necessarily pounce upon them. You will lovingly correct, but with much grace and much love. The gospel is very necessary to all of us as parents to appropriately understand that we need to extend grace. And it's hard to extend grace if you're not a recipient of it and you're not focused on it yourself. But also, the gospel will help you as a mother when you feel like you fail. I talk to many mothers who struggle with the stress and anxiety of motherhood. I talk with many married couples who struggle with the stress and anxiety of parenting. It's what I do week in and week out as a counselor. And I actually find this is so common that mothers will really kind of beat themselves up. And it's almost like they expect that they're going to be perfect. And there's nothing wrong with having the strong desire and seeking and pursuing to do everything you possibly can to faithfully live as that godly woman that God would want you to be and to convey the wise instruction. But you need the gospel too, because you fall short of it. And if you don't apply it to yourself, you will struggle with perfectionism, you'll struggle with failure. Anytime your child makes a mistake, you'll start to put the emphasis on it being your fault. And mothers, it's very important that you apply the gospel to yourself. That brings you right back to your need for God's help and His work in you being a mother. Brings you right back to your need for grace when you get off of the right track to help you get right back on it. And know that your identity and that who you are is first and foremost as a child of God, even before it is your performance as a mother. That your performance as a mother does not define your identity, but what God does in the gospel does. I want to speak lastly to children again who hear the mother's instruction, whether this be children who are literally children or those of us who are adults relating to our own moms. If you're going to receive a mother's wise instruction, you need to first and foremost be in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ yourself. And you'll need God's grace to live out and apply any of the wise instruction that you receive. You need to recognize the need that you have for God to help you, the grace that He will give you to help you grow, the grace to give you forgiveness when you need it, when you detract from the mother's wise instruction, from God's wise instruction, when your actions, life, or attitudes don't line up with God's way. So, mothers, what are some of the most significant things that you can teach? It's the wise instruction that comes from the fear of the Lord, that's full of grace and truth, and full of God and the gospel. Those of us who are recipients, who have mothers, What are some of the most significant things we can receive from our mothers? It is the wise instruction that comes from the fear of the Lord, that's full of grace and truth and full of God and the gospel. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you that you have given wise instruction to us in your word, and that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that we could not know you or know wisdom apart from your wonderful grace in the gospel. And Lord, we want to thank you that you have an incredible, profound role for each and every mother. And the moms in our lives play such an incredible role, especially when they are women who fear the Lord and are communicating and conveying this godly wisdom. And I pray for all of us as recipients that we'll receive that wisdom and apply it. And I pray for your grace to do so. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? Let's close in a final song of worship.